Thank you, Nancy, and good afternoon, everyone. I have no financial disclosures. So I'm just going to quickly run through the development process for our photo novella. I'll talk a little bit about our data and then discuss a few results. So why did we do this project on the HPV vaccine and why a photo novella? Those of you who work in vaccines or in HPV, you can see here that in this graph, Tdap vaccine and the meningococcal vaccine and the HPV vaccine, these are the three vaccines that are recommended for preteens and adolescents. HPV vaccine are the ones that lag far behind. And what we did in California was we decided that we needed to focus on Latinos because this is where the biggest portion of our adolescent population falls. The recommendation is to vaccinate at ages 11 and 12, although vaccination can happen up until the 20s. So why did we choose a photo novella? Well, this is an educational tool that's been well tested in the Latino population and is well suited to the decision makers, which in this case are the parents and Latina moms in particular. And anything that deals even remotely with sex or a life-threatening disease lends itself very nicely to a melodrama. So a little background on cervical cancer in Latinas. A secondary reason for targeting the Latina population is the disproportionate rate of cervical cancer. And it's about twice as much in the non-Hispanic population as it is in white women. So here's a chart showing the incidence of cervical cancer by race and ethnicity in California. You can see that it's higher in the Latino population. So here's how we started our development process. So we're at the State Health Department. So what we did was to form an advisory committee, 10 members, and these were primarily pulling together people who had expertise in health education, immunization, HPV, or women's health. They worked with us from the beginning to review the literature and help us, help advise us. They were bilingual and bicultural, and they helped us choose our vendor, which happened to be very fortuitous. They advised us on key HPV messages, which we wanted to incorporate into our story, overcoming the myths and barriers, identifying enablers, and cultural appropriateness that we wanted to work into the story. So our vendor, the Fotonovela production company, who you will hear from shortly on the panel, from Anna, this is our first big decision once we got our vendor on board, was choosing between using photos or using illustrations. And through the expertise of our vendor, we learned that photos are a better fit for women who are in their mid-30s and older versus using illustrations, who usually appeal to younger women. So as I mentioned, our advisory committee helped us develop key messages, and for us, we boiled this down into 5 myths, which I'll go through in a little bit. They were our public health expertise and cultural advisory. The vendor, they were our creative expertise. They developed the dramatic storyline, something that we didn't know really how to do. They hired the actors. They managed the production and the layout. They arranged all the logistics for the focus groups. But our public health expertise helped with some of the questionnaires and the research elements of preparing for the focus groups. So here I'm going to talk about some of the elements that we included in our story. So we had some cultural elements woven into our story. First are the comadres, or best girlfriends. And they are the ones that introduce the topic of cervical cancer into the story. Next we have the respected grandfather. And he is the one who confronts his son as the father in the story when the two parents are arguing about whether it's appropriate for their kids to get vaccinated against HPV. And as a cultural icon of wisdom, his opinion is respected. Then we have the trusted doctora, or the family doctor. And she's used in 2 ways. First, she's part of the story, and then she also prefaces a separate portion of the fotonovela didactic section, where we put additional information that's too much to put in the story. But you see her smiling face there above it, so sort of adds a little bit of friendliness where we have some additional facts. So here are the myths that I was talking about. So myth one is that the vaccine is only for girls. And here we see that the two comadres are discussing that the vaccine is for both boys and girls, and we reinforce that point a little bit later on by having both the brother and the sister seen at the clinic getting their vaccinations. Myth two, that getting vaccinated against an STD will encourage premature sexual activity. This was a little tricky, but we went back to the wise grandfather. And he again counters his more macho son to remind him that as parents, they taught their kids good values, and that his viewpoint should be given respect. So for these myths, women don't need to get pap tests after they receive the vaccine, and that the vaccine is not safe. So here we have a scene in the clinic setting where the parents are discussing with the doctors. They're asking if the vaccine is safe, and here the doctor is able to talk with them about the vaccine safety in the clinic setting. And then, coincidentally, the doctor is able to ask the mom about her pap screen status and bring that up again. So it's a nice double message. Here in this message about for people who have had sex, whether they can get the vaccine, we felt that this didn't really fit into the story, so this is where we use the didactic section, the Q&A, to put this information in, giving the facts. Showing that under the smiling face of the doctora. So then, once we had a draft, we did some focus testing, and we took our draft to three groups in three California Bay Area cities, Richmond, Hayward, and Santa Cruz. These were conducted mostly in Spanish or Spanish and English. The average age was 43. It tilted a little bit older because some of the participants were primary caregivers. They might have been older relatives, not just moms. They self-identified as Latina primarily or Mexican, and they were recruited primarily from the ranks of promotoras, and all of them had to have at least one child living with them who was 11 or 12. That could be a son or a daughter. So we had statistically significant knowledge gain in all of the questions that we asked, including what HPV vaccine prevents, the number of shots needed, the availability of the vaccine for both boys and girls, whether women still need to get Pap tested, and how does one get HPV. We also dealt with some qualitative comments that came up in the focus groups, and this was not surprising because the vaccine safety concern comes up in almost all parents' comments in focus groups around vaccines. So we wanted to support this and see if we could strengthen what we had already in the story. So here's what we had before the conversation with the doctora, and we decided to add more detail in the didactic section. So here we added detail to reinforce concrete facts to be more reassuring about the vaccine safety message. So a lot of people weren't that clear about why the vaccines offered at such an early age. So again, we went to the didactic section, and we wanted to put in additional facts. And the two reasons being that the body's best immune response happens at a younger age, and at this age, you know that the infection will come. This is the age before the infection when you know it will prevent the disease. So cost came up as an issue in the focus groups, and we again went to the Q&A, and we added information about the Vaccines for Children program, as well as federally qualified healthcare centers. So moms thinking that that men thinking that HPV is just a woman's disease, they gave us a very good suggestion. There was a lot of confusion around the term genital and genital warts. So the suggestion was to just use plain language, just stating clearly that warts on the penis and the vagina, and using them in both the English and the Spanish. There was also some confusion just with the acronym HPV that we hadn't realized, confusing it with HIV. That came up in both the English and the Spanish groups. Okay, so I'm going to quickly run through some results. We gave out about 15,000 copies when this first came out. Those were to primarily Latino clinics serving the Latino communities in various areas throughout California, either directly from the state health department or through our local health department contacts. This was not a research study, so we gathered a little bit of anecdotal information. We found out that one clinic raised their initiation rate, that is the first dose of HPV, from having the fotonovelas just in their waiting room from 50% to 80%. And another raised their completion rate, that is of the three doses, from 60% to 80%. And can I have another minute? Okay. All right, and we did a little bit more assessment with this because we thought it was a good tool, and we wanted to find out whether this would be applicable with other underserved groups. So we took it to another focus group situation, and we asked other parents of different ethnicities what they thought about the resource. And what we learned was that every time we spoke with parents of Latino origin, they loved the fotonovela, they thought it was great, they understood it. Whenever we got input from parents of other ethnicities, they thought it was a comic book for their kids, or they didn't understand what we were handing them. So it was a really good lesson for us to remember that one platform is not necessarily transferable to another population. And we could have made a colossal mistake without testing it. So we did make a web version. We didn't really do that much with it because we weren't prepared to be able to distribute it. And that's why I'm so excited to learn from the other panel members about how they were able to go digital and learn from them. And in the interest of time, I'll just let you know that I left copies of the fotonovela and an article that we published about the development process on the back table there. Thank you for your time. That's interesting. I actually haven't heard that one, and I've been working in HPV vaccination since before the vaccine came out. But you know, there are many myths out there.
That was really question.
Thank you for raising that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll have time for more questions for all of you.